Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and today we are diving into the wonderful world of genre entertainment on stage. Otherworld Theater from Chicago has a new play, or a new production of a fan favorite play called Of Dice and Men, and the video performance of this will be available free on YouTube from July 31st to August 14th. And my guest today is Managing Director Mary Kate Arnold, who will tell us all about Otherworld Theater Company and Of Dice and Men. Welcome, Mary Kate.
Hi, Summer. Thank you for having me.
So my listeners here know I'm a huge fan of what Wild Claw Theater does with horror on stage. So imagine my surprise to find out that you guys are around, also in Chicago, and putting on science fiction and fantasy on stage. And just give listeners a little background on Otherworld, a little bit of history on the productions.
Sure. So Otherworld was founded in 2014 by our artistic director, Tiffany Keen Schaefer. She's a Columbia College graduate, and she was always very passionate about directing and passionate about bringing science fiction and fantasy to the stage. And so she kind of made that her goal and her mission in life to realize that dream and to bring amazing stories that transport people into these sci-fi and fantasy worlds from, I guess, the page of a script to the stage to be enjoyed between actors and audience and everyone involved. So she's been doing that since 2014. She's an incredible woman who has been able to see her dream and bring along so many other people's dreams into fruition and to realize them. We moved into a space a few years back. I can't remember the exact year, maybe 2 years ago. And so now we have a permanent location in Wrigleyville. You can find us online at www.otherworldtheater.org, and you can find our location. Obviously, right now with current situations with COVID-19, we do not have the theater open. But when we were open and when we will open in the future, that space holds now two different theater spaces and a bar. It is a very happening place to be, and we do everything from main stage productions to parodies to guest artists to trivia nights to karaoke nights to cosplay nights and everything in between.
So what is the source of the science fiction themed and the fantasy themed scripts? Because to me, it seems like science fiction would be harder to produce for the stage than like horror or fantasy perhaps, but I didn't know that there was that big of a demand or a need for science fiction and fantasy on stage, and I am gleeful that you guys are actually going out there and curating these.
Yeah, I will say we kind of pull our materials from a lot of different sources. We have a annual play festival called Paragon Play Festival, mm-hmm. where people submit their short to full length fantasy and science fiction plays. So we are always seeing new work. We're always seeing new plays. We also have open submissions. If anybody ever wants to send us their script, we're happy to read through it. And then we also pull materials that are kind of classic and put our own twist on them. We also devise our own work from time to time, or adapt our own work from time to time. We also kind of write a lot of our own work. We have a sister company called Moonrise Games, which is a LARP company. And for those listeners who may not know, that stands for Live Action Role Play. And those LARPs, we write. So we create the world, we create the characters, we create the plot. Players dictate, you know, what happens in the story within the context of the world. And they help kind of create the changes that take place in the world. But we're not opposed to really digging deep and doing some of the writing ourselves from time to time. You'd be surprised. Actually, we find that we have more sci-fi submissions than fantasy.
Huh.
And we think, yeah, because I agree with you. I would have thought it would be the other way around. But we think that that might be because, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Summer, but science fiction has a natural echo of what's happening in the world from time to time, especially sociopolitically. Whereas fantasy, I think, takes a little bit more effort because you kind of have to create different stakes in a different world that might not echo so much. You know, there's magic, there's, you know, non-realism. Whereas with science fiction, I mean, take Star Trek, for example. I mean, it's set in a, you know, science fiction world, but it's really tackling issues of race, of gender, of, you know, poverty, et cetera, war. What are your thoughts?
I am, well, thinking about it now, I guess more of the social or apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic, where you're dealing with changes in society, changes in civilization, adapting to, you know, different developments. Say, like, you have the aftermath of, hey, aliens are real, they're here, kind of situation.
Yeah.
I could see that it would be easier to write stories along that vein, because you just have to set the setting differently. You know, my favorite thing in science fiction is space opera. So of course I think spaceships and battles and stuff, which don't initially lend themselves to being easily produced on the stage. But if you're just talking about, you know, a space queen and her pirate lover, sure, why not?
Oh my gosh, I want to read that play. I want to be in that play. That sounds awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, we've had plays before that we've done where there have been kind of like that space opera element with battles, and we've had to come up with creative ways to show that, whether that's light, sound, whether it's projections. We're very, very fond of utilizing projections so we can give people the senses as if there's a space battle happening, and then you couple that with the dialogue or the action of the sequence, and, you know, we do our best to kind of transport people to the stakes of that circumstance.
And it never dawned on me that it would be a whole lot easier and more cost effective to use video projections in the background instead of having to build sets. Duh.
Well, yes, but also, I mean, our spaces are relatively small. Like, we don't even have enough space for like a fly. So we always have to think of like, how can we do this that's cost effective, works within our means, but also gives people that experience? Because I think the last thing you want is your audience to walk away feeling like they weren't part of something. I think it's becoming increasingly important for audiences to be like, I experienced that. I didn't just sit in the dark in the back and watch you do it. Like, I felt it, I smelled it, I heard it, I was there with you.
Cool.
Which makes things like Dice and Men so interesting, doing a film.
Yeah,
very different.
let's talk about Of Dice and Men. It's your playwright is Cameron McNary, your director is James Martineau, and I'm going to let you describe what the story is about, because I don't think I could actually do it justice. All I'm going to say is, of course, it's got dice in it. That means gaming, either, you know, tabletop gaming of some sort, and there's just so much going on.
There is. I think ultimately the story is about, it's a coming of age story and learning that maybe the things that the world might see as childish, the things that get you really excited, can sometimes be tools to help you grow and help you cope and help you manage change. In the story, it's a group of friends, all different personalities, who are part of the D&D campaign. And it kind of talks about how the campaign came to be. And then throughout the story, we find out one of the characters enlists in the Iraq War, and it kind of tears the group apart, but through playing the game, they're able to collectively, experience catharsis, healing, and acceptance. that this person is going off, that all of their lives are changing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't stay true to who they are. And if who they are a bunch of nerds that love D&D, that's fine. That's great.
So it's a lot about using the game to grow beyond where they're currently at, to just being more adult, to being more aware of the wider happenstances of the world.
That's exactly it. Yep. And just, you know, learning how to be bold through the game, how to, you know, make that leap. I mean, one of the characters is moving to a whole new city and is really nervous. Through the game and the experience, he makes that leap. There's a love interest situation. They can't quite, you know, boy meets girl, girl has boyfriend, boy is single, boy has girlfriend, girl is, like, they can't quite get there. And through the game, they get there. There's a husband and wife couple who the husband does not have any interest in D&D whatsoever, but he plays because his wife loves it and he loves seeing her light up when she plays. On the other side, she has no interest in sports. He loves it. But at every game, she's there. She has no idea what's going on the field, but she's there cheering him on. And they talk about how much, like, D&D and sports are not that different. They don't really matter. Like civilizations are not going to come crashing down because a D&D campaign is too difficult or because the Bears lose a game. But at the same time, they do matter because they bring joy to people and they bring escapism to people and they help us, you know, learn things that we maybe don't learn as quickly or don't learn at all in the real world.
So this production is actually a recasting or a reworking of a previous production, only this time it's suited for video distribution because of, you know, pandemic.
Yeah, so we actually didn't really know. We've been talking about remounting the show for a very long time. We did it back in 2014. Our company was so new. It was such a joyous experience to produce Cameron's play. And sadly, because we were so new, not a whole lot of people had the opportunity to see it. And we've had a lot of requests to remount it. You know, oh, I missed that one. I would have loved to have seen it. Oh, I saw it. It was so good. I want to see it again. So we've kind of been thinking about remounting it for a while. When the pandemic hit and we had to close the theater, we had to actually close. We were running for those who are Rick and Morty fans, we were running a Pickle Rickicles, which is Shakespeare's Pericles, Rick and Morty in one. It was wild. We had to close 2 weeks early. So we're like, all right, well, the theater's going to be closed for a couple weeks. Let's remount of Dice and Men so that when it opens, we can get there and we can open theater with a bang. We were very naive, Summer, thinking that we would be able to reopen like that. And so what ended up happening was we were rehearsing via Skype for we didn't know what. We didn't know if it was going to be a full play. We didn't know if we were going to do a one weekend only. We didn't know if we were going to have to cancel it and scrap it all together. We had no idea until about a week before the filming.
So how hard was it to perform just for the cameras instead of an audience?
For me personally, it was quite hard for a couple of reasons. One is that we rehearsed via Skype and we did a cue to cue. For those not in the theater, that means you kind of do each lighting and sound cue and then you go to the next one. You're not really acting anything in between, you're just doing the cues. And so we never really even ran the play in person until we filmed. And then when we filmed, we did not run it in order because we were trying to monopolize the limited time that we had to film, mainly because for health and safety of the performers, the tech crew and everything, we wanted people to be together as few hours as possible. So we did all the filming, not in sequential order, over 6 hours. Almost every scene is one take. So for me as an actress, I was like, oh my God, like I, if I mess this up, I have this one chance, this one shot, as Eminem would say. So that was hard. And then on top of it, a lot of the show was direct address. And it's very funny. It's a comedy, right? So you're expecting kind of an audience actor connection, maybe some laughter if you're lucky. but playing to a camera or to a fake audience kind of is more like what we did. We did a little bit of both. It was hard, but it was really rewarding. And my adrenaline was through the roof on the scenes summer, just because it was like, this is it. Like, I have this one time to do it. And if it's not good, then that's on me. Like, there's no redoing it. There's no second night. And I think the hardest part, actually, all in all, was that we left that day. We had such a blast filming. And we left being like, this is sad. Like, we've been together rehearsing over Zoom for 2 months. Now we've come together in a whirlwind to do this. And now we're leaving. You know, we didn't get that, 3 to 6 month experience together as a cast. So I hope someday we get to do it, in full on the stage, and we get to have that beautiful experience.
Well, talk about the post-production process for this and how you're distributing it to Otherworld supporters, and what the ultimate goal, what you guys want to get out of having this be free for 2 weeks and giving people time to experience it and hopefully clamor for more.
Sure. So post-production, I'm not really involved with that. My skill set is fairly limited, sadly, but Bailey Picorni was the person who filmed it and did a beautiful, brilliant job. And then he got the footage over to Tiffany Keen Schaefer, our artistic director, and she actually edited it. She's brilliant. Like, she is a Jill of all trades. So she edited it herself and put it up, obviously, on our YouTube. It's open for 2 weeks. We do sell tickets. All of our shows are free. But if people want to make a donation, that's always welcomed as well. We're really in need of support right now with the theater being closed. We're unable to, get that monthly revenue going. So if you did enjoy the show, please toss a coin to your Witcher or make a donation for those of you who haven't watched Witcher yet or played. In terms of what we hope to get from this, oh, I should also say, after 2 weeks, it's still available just under Otherworld's Patreon. Mm-hmm. So if you liked it and you want more content, feel free to subscribe to our Patreon. We post a lot of great stuff there. Usually you'll get to see things early, or it'll be there for longer. And you'll get to see kind of director's cuts and cool things. So check that out. But what we hope, I guess what I hope people just like have a laugh and maybe a good time and a smile, and maybe remembering that times are really uncertain right now and they're really tough, but through our friendships, through our relationships, and through the things that we nerd out about, the things that we love, like, we can get through it. I hope it leaves people feeling hopeful.
I have to ask, is there a blooper video? A gag reel of sorts?
I wish there was. I don't think that there is, because I think we did. I mean, I'm serious. All of them were like one take. Like, we couldn't bloop up, as it were.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
I wish we could. I'd love to do like a fun run where we just like acted ridiculous and did whatever we wanted. Like, that'd be a fun.
Just take like the funniest scene in the play and do like ad lib. Just ad lib it. Totally change the dialogue. Just run with it.
Love it. I love that idea. I'll run it by Tiffany and see if she's interested.
Nice. So where can people find all of this? Like, how active are the social media gremlins for Otherworld?
Yeah, they're really active. You can find us on Facebook. It's Otherworld Theater, theater with an R-E. And we post every day. We have content coming out our ears. Some other things that we have on offer right now, we have improvised D&D that happens, I think, every Sunday, or at least close to every Sunday. I know that we're about to produce Merchant of Sesame Street, which is a Merchant of Venice Sesame Street mashup. We also have a thing called Nerdy Nosh, where we have different fandoms do a cooking show. We have The Real Housewives of Westeros, which is a little project of my own. Yeah, it's very funny. We've just started that one, and we're doing intro videos, so that's on there. We have past productions that we've done over the past few years that are on there, including that one I mentioned before, Pickle Rickicles, and then Super Richard World III, which is Richard III mashed up with Super Mario. Very funny.
Oh, my goodness.
All kinds of content. I know. It's like you could watch Otherworld content for like 2 weeks straight if you really wanted. And then we're on Instagram, again, just Otherworld Theater. And then, as I mentioned, our website is otherworldtheater.org.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around Shakespearean Muppets.
I know. I have some friends that are in it, and it looks so cute, I gotta say, like with the Muppets and everything. It looks adorable.
Nice.
Excited to see it. Should be out soon, nice. I think, in the next month or so.
Yes, I'm trying to remember. I think I found out about Paragon through Twitter.
Okay, yep, you do have a very active Twitter.
Yeah, I hadn't heard
social media.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of the contest, and all of a sudden I see this really colorful poster. I'm like, Paragon, what is this? And I started digging around more. I'm like, hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Paragon is such a blast. And then we also have a film, a sci-fi and fantasy film festival each year called Juggernaut. And then also, I'll get yelled at if I don't mention, we have our annual gala, which is everyone's favorite event, one of the most fun nights of the year, happening. I don't know when this year, so look out on social media, but it's going to be all virtual, but it will be a night to remember, I have no doubt.
Nice. Talk a little bit about the film festival, because I think I got some info on that, but it was too late to actually do something with it. Now, is it all short films? Is it shorts and features? How does that work?
Yeah, I think that there are a couple features that we usually show, kind of almost like a prime, like a 7 p.m. primetime slot, but most of it is short films. And I don't know when the submissions open, but it will be all over our social media when it does. But we accept submissions. I think that there might be a small fee to submit. It's very minimal. And then we review them all and we choose, I think last year was like 40 short films that we showed over the course of 2 days. It's awesome. Like the creativity in the world is astounding. And I always am reminded of that during Juggernaut.
Cool. Well, like I said, we'll have links to your website and the social media pages where people can explore more Otherworld content. Mary Kate, thank you so much for sharing your passion for sci-fi and fantasy on the stage and, you know, gaming and life and surviving COVID. we need as many distractions as we can, that while still staying, you know, safe. And this is definitely one of them.
Thank you so much for having me, Summer. I'm always happy to talk about this. If anyone has any questions on any of it, feel free to reach out to me directly. Happy to answer anything. And it was such a pleasure talking to you. Do you play D&D?
I did. When I was in college, I was in a game. Same campaign.
Oh, nice.
Same campaign went for at least 10 years while I was there. And
wow.
I have memories of our dungeon master holding his daughter, like she was maybe a couple of months old, and then just remembering that she was in middle school when I left the area, and now to think it's like they're probably still playing that same campaign.
You know what? I hope that they are, and I hope that they're listening and are delighted that you remember that and those photos.
Oh, well. Anyway, thank you again. And I hope any of our Chicago listeners get to experience them live when things open back up. And otherwise, check out of Dice and Men on their YouTube channel. We'll have links to that. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up to date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
And I'm always a fan of finding out more about stage productions of genre stories. You know, horror, science fiction, fantasy. I just the fact that people are clamoring for more genre entertainment on stage makes me happy. So hopefully we get through this and we get to attend theater productions in person again. And I'm jealous of the people who live in Chicago, because you've got Wild Claw Theater Group, you've got Otherworld Theater Group, there's I think Roustabout is up in that area as well. So otherworldtheater.org, theater spelled with the T-R-E, like the classical spelling. So head on over to their website or their Twitter feed and follow more of what they're doing. We have links to their YouTube channel where you can watch Of Dice and Men for free until, like I said, August 14th. After then, you'd have to go sign up for their Patreon to continue to watch that, or dive into some of the other productions, Shakespearean Muppets. I think I have to see that just because. And if you have any questions or comments or suggestions of other stage productions that fall into our favorite genres, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review, give us a rating. Every little bit of feedback helps. And your comments may inspire a new listener to come over and check out our show. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can follow us on YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And yes, I do get into conversations on Twitter. Feel free to weigh in on horror, on sci-fi, on fantasy in many mediums. Just had a discussion about a series of anthologies called Chicks in Chainmail. I remember these from, I think, the mid-90s, and they were hilarious stories poking fun at the fantasy fiction tropes for women, female characters, and some of the stories in there were highly, highly amusing. And we had a discussion about that, and I lamented how I hadn't known that Dog Soldiers was on Blu-ray thanks to Shout Factory. It had been out for 5 years. I didn't find out until last week. How does this happen? How do I not know one of the classic send-ups of the werewolf movie? It's not comedic. It's just a very, very cool twist on the werewolf story. How did I not know this movie was on Blu-ray for 5 years? I could have been enjoying this movie on Blu-ray before now, but now I'm late to the game, but I have ordered myself a copy. If you haven't seen Dog Soldiers, you should do your very best to check that one out. It's fun. And you can ask me questions about it on Twitter. We also have the website, sliceofscifi.com, where all of these podcasts, these interviews are posted, along with TV and movie reviews, where you can actually weigh in with your own rating if you so choose. So come on over, check things out. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently supporting Slice of Sci-Fi and the other shows that are in the Slice of Sci-Fi orbit. We have Writers After Dark, we have Babylon Podcast, we have Charlie Jade, and a few other websites that I'm working on to enhance your science fiction and horror entertainment. Your donations really do keep the lights on and the bits flowing, so thank you everyone who is currently supporting. If you can add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, or if a monthly pledge commitment is not something you can do today but you still want to help, you can use the PayPal link, paypal.me/scifisummer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.